Your whip about to get rocking. Your smile about to be popping. Lit times for your drive, no maybes. Just yes, so release the stress. Gary and Tommy about to go off.
Gary and Tommy are about to start another fun journey in the podcast. And no matter where you are on your health journey, NIB will help you live health first. Put your health first and join NIB today. Visit nib.com.au. Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Gary and Tommy.
Yes, welcome to it for your Monday afternoon. No Tommy with us, the Savo. We got Pete Hellier filling in.
Hello. Amateur who's just speaking. I'm like, we're on air, mate.
Sorry. These microphones, what do they do?
They are on now.
They're on?
We're okay. Now live to the nation, mate. Anything you'd like to say to the people?
I love you all. It's great to be here. Tommy's back tomorrow.
I'm already stressing.
Why?
But look at my sweat patches under
my
shirt.
What's going on?
It's a synthetic material, but it's your presence, Pete.
No, I hear because we have the man behind Hunted, not Craig David, David Craig, Chief David Craig, and he's coming in to chat to us. And
I
you
want
are
to tell
nervous
him how much
that.
I want to go on that show.
Yeah,
I spend far too much of my week planning my getaway. Not like my getaway in real life, but my getaway on the show, how I would get away.
I don't think I've ever told somebody this. Sometimes when I'm packing up my stuff at a hotel room, you know what I do? I pretend there's assassins coming in like a minute.
And I
need to like clear the hotel room in a minute.
But yeah, don't you just leave everything and run?
No.
If the assassins were coming, would you take your suitcase?
Yeah, I take my suitcase. I get my charger because if I'm going to be on the run, I'll need my charger.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
And you need clothes.
I mean,
so change
clothes.
Your clothes because you need
clothes.
To fool them.
Yep. Although I did leave my Star Wars boxer shorts in there.
Oh, what about
recently.
Your toiletries?
Toiletries have to come with me, yeah. They would have to come.
Oh, my God, that is so cute. You rushing around to pack up for a make-believe assassin.
Make-believe assassin. And you know what? It's worked every time. I've never been killed. Not once. Not once.
On you. Well, you've lifted the lid on wall. You've taken a peek behind the door of what happens in hotel rooms for you. I want to take a peek behind the toilet door of what happened for me inside a toilet cubicle with one of my very famous friends last week. I'm going to tell you all about
toilet
it.
Toilet cubicles is the book in this.
Gary and Tommy.
It's Monday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. We got Pete Hellier filling in this afternoon.
I remember that tune. That tune Fifi Box and I played on Thursday as we were getting ready for our girls' night. Cubs. Didn't
because
know I had my own remix.
Loves hitting the club. And you have set this up beautifully. You very rarely do people in the inside of the entertainment industry, and you are at the epicenter of it. You've won 6 gold Logies, whatever it is. I've
just
lost
one,
count. Just the one. Okay, this morning.
What's your count again?
What's that?
What's your count? We're
the project, we've won two between us, okay? We've won two between us, the project's hosts, okay? Doesn't matter who won which. Anyway, but rarely do you. Sometimes we show you behind the scenes, we give you a peek behind the curtains, you know, maybe we allow you access to red carpets and dressing rooms every now and then. But very rarely, if ever, has anyone invited the listeners to the cubicle of a nightclub where celebrities, weird stuff has happened in cubicles with celebrities over the years. This is amazing.
I don't know what you're talking about, Pete Hellier.
I've notified the Daily Mail, news.com. They're all listening. What happened in the cubicle in the club?
So I preface this to say I didn't try my outfit on before I got to the venue to get ready to go out, right? I hadn't tried it on before because I thought it'll all work fine. And when I went to put this outfit on, I was wearing a red suit, and under the red suit I was wearing a cream bodysuit.
Okay.
And for anyone, you would know, Pete, when you're wearing a bodysuit, they're a little tricky to get up around the Gucci bit down the bottom.
Gucci bit.
And I was stone cold sober at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, having trouble with my little. Actually, my boss, and if you're listening, don't ever tell me this again, told me if I could not have my drinks till after the event. And that made me very cross. I've never been unprofessional, and I'll have my drinks when I want to have my drinks.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a bit of trouble with the press studs, and I thought, two things that I have to remember tonight, Carrie. Don't drink any liquid, or make sure that you take someone to the toilet with you, because you're going to have a hard time doing up these press studs. Anyway, of course, I went and had a champagne and forgot the no liquid rule, didn't I? And then as the night wore on, I realised I needed to go to the toilet, and I held on for as long as I could hold on. A good hour and a half, I was bursting literally at the seams with this bodysuit.
Oh, my God.
And then I went in, but I, in my
having
little tipsy haze, I was like, I've got this, Carrie. You've got this. You've done this before. You can do this. And I went into the cubicle, and there was all these people, like friends and people I worked with, that came to go to the bathroom at the same time. So when I got stuck, which is what happened in the cubicle, I realized I couldn't do up my bodysuit. I thought, I'll just shout out for some help. Only I opened the door after fiddling around for about 5 minutes to no avail. I opened the door. I just couldn't get them to meet eye to eye, the little press stud bits. Anyway, so I opened the door and it was gone. It was like a ghost town. There was nobody there. But I hadn't done up my pants because I thought I'll just get one of the girls. But there was these men walking past, sales guys walking past. And so I ducked back in the toilet again. And then all of a sudden, all I did was yell out, could somebody get Fifi? Could somebody get Fifi? And so then all of a sudden I could hear that message being relayed. And there's someone saying, Carrie needs Fifi in the toilet.
So did you consider at one point, or like, were you going to piss the jumpsuit?
I got it open. I'd gone to the toilet.
Yeah, but at some point, like, you see, I was open.
I got the thing undone. That wasn't the problem.
Oh, so you'd gone to the toilet by this stage.
I'd gone to the toilet. I just couldn't re-grip.
Redo it
together, because there's such a, like, you need your little pincer grip. And my little pincer grip was a bit wobbly from the champagne. So then Fifi came in, not knowing why I needed her. And she came since she closed the door. She says, what's going on? And I was pantless going, I need you to do me up. So then she got on all fours and was doing me up. Anyway, we walked out and it was all very fine. But every time I've spoken about this on the weekend, everyone laughs, because I think men don't understand. Girls end up doing weird things in toilets all the time. We find ourselves with strangers even in toilets. Like, I remember being at the Logies one year, and I walked midway through the Logies to go to the bathroom, and it was only when I got there that I realised I had no idea how to lift this ginormous dress I was wearing up to go to the bathroom. And there was no one there in the room but Joe Stanley. And I said to radio presenter Joe Stanley, Joe, could you help me out? Help a sister out here. So she came into the cubicle and have to lift the thing above her head on all fours, kneeling with my dress above her head while I did a pee.
Oh, my God. I mean, you should have a competition to do that kind of stuff. I mean, the people would enter. I mean, I've never received a message at the Logies going, well, he needs you in the cubicle
That's
now.
That's what I mean. And, like, I think it's a girl thing.
Your zipper's stuck or something.
There's always, I remember once helping a girl fish out her phone from the toilet because there was all this commotion. I said, what's happening? And she said, I just dropped my phone. And I was like, damn it, here, move out the way. And I pulled up my sleeve and went dug my hand into some random toilet to help a girl out, to help a sister out with her phone.
Oh, no. Sisters. Sometimes sisters got to be doing it for themselves.
131060, what went down in the dunny? Obviously, PG. Give us a call. When have you ended up with some, and I'm sorry to our producers are going to have to field some of these calls that won't be appropriate.
I'm going to be carrying Tommy up late edition.
What happened? What did you end up in a dunny with somebody, even if it was someone you've never met, having to help them out with something in a dunny? I want to hear now, 131060.
And I would love to hear from a bloke who's maybe had to help with a wardrobe malfunction, because I've never heard of it before.
We don't normally call you in.
No,
do you know what I mean?
No, like, not to a woman, but maybe a bloke.
Pete come? Where's Pete?
As a bloke helped another bloke out with a malfunction.
Of course.
I want to hear one of those.
131060, what went down in the dunny?
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and the listener app for your Monday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. We got Pete Hellier filling in this afternoon. And on 131060, what went down in the bathroom?
No, what went down in the dunny, Jess? Use the right language.
Sorry.
We're in Australia. The lovely Fifi Box had to help me with my press studs on all fours. My bodysuit was tricky to get on at 10 o'clock at night in the dunnies of a night out we were having.
What would have been your next move if Fifi had already gone home?
I considered that. I was like, do I get a random or do I just not do up the thing and walk out with this weird little you know,
did you have a jumper on you? You
get flapping in the wind.
You could tie it around your waist, Lisa Lucky style.
I had a jacket on. I could have done that. Where were you, Pete, when I needed you?
So, there you go.
But we have asked, because it's not the first time that a woman's had to help another woman out in the dunny. Lainey, what went down in the dunny?
So I was at Crown Casino, one of the nightclubs there. I was relatively sober, but there was a complete stranger that I'd never met before who had gotten the ends of her ponytail caught in the zip on the back of her romper.
Oh, no. Her romper. She wasn't a baby, yeah? Like her onesie.
No, no.
I mean, that still sounds like a baby too.
It was like one of those all-in-one pantsuit where you have to get half naked to go to the toilet.
To go to the toilet.
Yeah.
So did you manage to get it undone?
We did. I had to go to the bar and ask if they had scissors, and I ended up cutting her hair.
Oh, my God.
The jaws of life.
I know, but... when you're tipsy, it's like, just cut it off. Don't worry. Just cut it off. Yeah. And the next morning, she's like, where's my hair?
Yeah. And she had, I don't know, if it felt like natural hair as well. So she probably would have been pretty upset when she realized.
Like natural hair.
Well, yeah, it didn't feel like extension.
Yeah, you couldn't unclip the extension. Yeah, that would have been helpful. Good on you, Lainey.
So much trouble to be had. So when I need to do a wee, I often leave it to the last moment, but I know I can get in there. There'll be enough toilets. You go in there and get the business done.
Yeah, that's what you get when you're a man.
I know.
To the last minute.
It's unfair. And you kind of, sometimes then it's like, oh, geez, I left that a little bit too late, you know.
What
like,
happens?
No, we just, thank God, I didn't leave it any longer. Like, if I had to go in there if I had to get a jumpsuit off.
I know.
It seems ridiculous.
I know. Fashion is,
fashion's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Nikki, what happened to you in the dunny?
So my best friend had a baby, and it was the first time we were going out since she'd had Bub, and she was breastfeeding. And I got a message to meet her in the toilet and had to help her express breast milk into the sink.
Oh, as in like squeeze the nipple to get it out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she just couldn't do it herself. Oh. So we're both just standing over a sink.
Oh, did you show her a picture of Bub or something?
No, she was well on her way. So.
I feel like there's a reality show. Just put cameras in. I know it's illegal. Yes. So there'll be some legal issues and some clearances will need to be signed. But if you got, I mean, I love me ice truckers, your storage wars, that kind of show, and there's women breast pumping each other, getting out of pantsuits.
Well, there was another breast pump story. A lady called up to say she was breastfeeding for the first time in a toilet, and it was taking some time, and a woman knocked on the door, and she opened the door, and she was there with her toddler, and she said, my toddler needs the toilet now. Can we come in? So the all three of them together sat in the cubicle while the kid went to the toilet and she kept breastfeeding.
And now they're married and they're all happy.
They're all
one big happy family. Okay, we've got Kath. Kath, what happened to you in a dunny?
Hey, guys. So I was unwell at a venue and...
Don't you hate when you go out feeling unwell?
No, I don't reckon she started unwell, did you, Kath?
my dentures fell out.
Oh, my God. What did you do?
I had to wait there for my male friend to come in and rescue my teeth because I was too scared to pull them out.
Like he dug his hand into the toilet?
He did. He was my best friend.
So what, you didn't put them back in after that, did you?
I was too unwell to judge, so he just rinsed him off and said, what happens in the toilet stays in the toilet.
Oh, that's a good friend.
But that rule's been broken now, hasn't it?
Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and the listener app for your Monday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Tommy is away. We got Pete Hellier filling in the sabo.
Yes, and still to come, actually up next, in fact, if you are a parent and you've celebrated all those little firsts in your kid's life, the first time they learned to walk, the first time they talked, and they're important milestones in your life, a new campaign, Stop It at the Start, is beginning today that wants us to think about the other firsts in our kids' lives, like the first time they are brave and stand up to someone in the playground, the first time they stand up for themselves when they're in a moment where they're being disrespected. It is a tricky conversation to have with your kids. None of us are the experts or have the answers, but we will have more of that conversation and give you some ideas on how you can have that conversation next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, but Tommy is away today. We've got Pete Hellier filling in.
If I asked you the question, Pete, what does respect mean to you? It could be different to what it means to me because it's different things to different people. But at its core, respect means being treated with kindness. And there's a new campaign that is launching that you and I are both involved in called Stop It at the Start. And yep. we're having a conversation about it on the project tonight. But it's all about trying to end violence against women and having the conversations with your kids about respect early on, that it's never too early to start those conversations.
Absolutely. There are some pretty staggering figures and stats around violence towards women. One in six women have experienced physical or sexual violence by a current or former partner since the age of 15. One in six women have experienced physical or sexual violence by a current or former partner. And one in four Australian women have experienced emotional abuse from a current or former partner. And I guess what we're trying to say is if you have these conversations early, and the more you have these conversations, the earlier you have them, the easier it is to have them. They become part of your norm.
Yes.
You don't feel that kind of weight when you feel like, oh, I've got to talk to my kid about this. It becomes easier.
And it's not just up to parents. It's up to parents, coaches, family and friends, anyone that is involved in your kids' lives to have those deeper conversations with your kids. And it's even things like when you pick your kids up from school, the first thing you normally say to your kids is, how's your day at school? And it ends up being a benign conversation that usually goes nowhere. But asking more pointed conversations about, you know, what happened at lunchtime, you know, and did you see anyone get treated with disrespect? Or what would you do if you saw something happening in the playground? Would you stand up? What are some of the words you would use to explain to the teachers that you saw acts of disrespect? And there's some really, really interesting research around the idea that even at very young ages, we brush off a lot of things that happen in the schoolyard, particularly boys' disrespect of girls, as childish behaviour, or we diminish it and say, boys are just being boys.
Yep.
Boys are not just being boys. Disrespect can start in the home, but it can also start in the playground, and it's up to us as adults to kickstart those conversations. And it's a hard thing to do. Like, we all know you're worried about when's the right time to do it. What if I do it wrong? And there's this incredible hub, online hub you can go to at respect.gov.au. It's got all these conversation starters and tools and research there because you don't have to nail it first go. It's about having the conversations early and bringing up respect to bring up respect. So if you want to know more about this, join us on the project tonight. We'll be having a deeper conversation about it as well. But it's up to all of us to play our part. Before we know it, our kids will be adults and they won't be looking to us for guidance. But currently they are looking at us. They see everything that we do. They hear everything we do, whether we like it or not. Mm. They're always watching. And it's a big responsibility, but it is up to us to stop it at the start.
When you bring up respect grows. Not sure where to start? Visit respect.gov.au. For conversation starters.
Carrie and Tommy,
driving you home for your Monday afternoon. We've got Pete Hellier filling in this afternoon.
Now, I know I'm not exactly coming in hot on this because the Neighbours finale went to air on Thursday night.
Have you been waiting 5 days to talk to us?
Well, you know what?
Where's the newsflash? Ding, 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 ding.
It's a 37-year-old show that came to an end on Thursday night. So I think it deserves even more reflection. Did you see the finale?
Okay, I haven't had a chance to watch it, but 1.2 million Australians did. I saw
3 million people
Brits,
in the UK.
Is it? Yes.
Yes.
Amazing. I've not heard anything but amazing reports.
It was everything I think you would hope. Admittedly, like a lot of people, obviously, because it's been wrapped up. I hadn't watched it for a while.
I've got a theory it's coming back, but that's my little theory.
Your little theory, anyway. Fingers crossed. But I remember watching the first episode when it aired. That's how old I am.
Oh, really? And
yeah, I remember the first.
How old would you have been?
Oh, I was 10. I was 10, so old enough to kind of.
You're 47.
I'm 47.
Was that your 40th? Was that 7 years ago?
70 time flies when you're having fun, Bix.
That was such a fun night.
It was a fun night.
Wasn't it?
It was a fun night.
I'm just having flashbacks. So you remember the first episode.
What happened on the first episode? I don't really remember much about it, but I remember, you know, the original characters and the Robinsons and the Ramseys and all of that. So
I was the Billy and Anne era. Did Billy and Anne come back?
No. That's Brooke Satchwell and Jesse
Spencer.
No, Jesse Spencer did a message.
Okay.
Because there's a bit where some of the, you know, Margot Robbie, and they're not as Margot, they did it as characters.
Oh.
So Delta Goodrum.
And how do they deliver Brulia. A message?
Well, that was because it was a wedding message to Toadie.
Oh, clever.
And the woman he was married, Melanie. But I want to give a shout out to a couple of people, a couple of legends who don't necessarily need shout outs because they're legends and people love them. And
well, this is the show for shout outs, Pete Hellyer. You've got to start with your shout out
to
Romani.
The biggest shout out.
He doesn't get it because he's not normally here. But say shout out to Romani.
Okay, shout out to Romani.
No, her name's Romani.
Romani. Yeah. Shout out to Romani. Thanks for joining us, Romani.
Armani's good too.
Yeah, Armani's good.
Actually, Armani to you as well.
Send us some stuff
on the side. Yeah. So in football, in AFL football, at the end of the year, you have your Brownlow. You have 3-2-1 votes. Okay, yep. So three's the best. And so my one vote for the Neighbours finale. No, this is not the weakest. This is like you got to play well. There's like 40 characters in the whole thing.
Sure.
And
the whole thing
about the Neighbours finale was they did a miraculous job in trying to juggle this many characters. And this many, like, tying
was
up different storylines.
Was it only half an hour or an hour?
A bit over an hour.
Wow.
A bit over an hour. Okay. So there were times where they lost control over where characters were and what they were supposed to be doing. But it was all part of the fun. It was beautifully kind of sentimental. You had lots of old characters coming back. Sometimes they'll just appear in the street, standing in the street. The camera like whizzed over. Oh, there's Dez. And it was fun. It was funny and it was lovely. But my one vote goes to Annie Jones, who played Jane.
Oh, I've seen everyone talk about her.
She
her
was
moment
fantastic.
With Guy Pearce,
with Guy
was
Pearce.
It?
Don't worry, we'll get to him soon.
Okay.
But yeah, Annie Jones is fantastic. Like she carried her and Guy kind of carried the whole thing, along with my two votes, Jackie Woodburn.
Oh.
Yes, Susan Kennedy. Yep. I thought she was fantastic.
Oh, my God, I love Susan Kennedy.
And she has been there for such a long time. Whoever worked on the show loves her, both on and off screen. We've interviewed her a couple of times and approached. She's lovely. She's
just
she's a
how
legend.
You'd want your mum to be.
Yes, and I hope she finds that next thing for her. And three votes. I've got Guy Pearce. Oh, my God. Now, listen, like he's a genuine bona fide superstar. Like he
but
did,
I don't think he needs you telling him that.
No, he
I mean,
does.
The world knows that.
I know, but the fact is, he came back to do this finale, and not just in a way
like a
where
shout-out.
It was just like, oh, I'm just going to be in one scene. He came in and carried a storyline and anchored this episode with Annie Jones, and he actually was Mike again. He's working with Christopher Nolan. He doesn't.
Amazing.
And he came back. He looked
he
like he was having fun. He looked like he was having fun. He embraced it, and he actually gave it a lot of heart. And I think full credit to Guy Pearce for saying, yes, not only do I want to be involved, but I'm going to come. Whenever you need me, I'm going to come. I'll be available for the whole week or 2 weeks or whatever. Good on you, Guy Pearce.
That would be
Pearce.
So nice for the crew as well to have him back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Such family.
It would have meant an absolute lot.
And what about Carls? What did Carls get up
well,
to?
Well, Kylie had a much smaller role. No doubt they would love her to be in it more. So
did
her,
you know she's a bona fide superstar now too?
She or? Is a yes, bona fide yep, superstar. She's had lots
that.
Of. She's had a couple of hits overseas. Now, there's been a bit of some different reactions to Kylie's appearance because Kylie and Jason just rock up when nobody else is in the street. They kind of rock up in a little Mini Cooper and there's a little Coffs Harbour key ring hanging off the
oh, they've been at Coffs.
They've been at Coffs right. Harbour. So, and then they arrive and this is Jason, Donovan, Kylie yep. Minogue, Scott and Charlene arriving back in Ramsey Street.
Wow. Look at this, huh? Crazy. We made it, huh?
Yeah. Home sweet home.
Obviously, especially for you playing in the background. Now, that
were
was,
they paid per different words? Well, so he said wow, wow, that, wow, and crazy, just was a bit chicken.
There's a rumour going around that Kylie might have been paid per word because she didn't say much. In fact, listen to the next scene where we're not sure what's going on. I think Kylie, Charlene, looks at her old house and she has a little twinkle in her eye.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know. No one's here. Huh? Charlene, no. I know exactly what you're thinking. No.
Can you talk?
Yeah, can you talk? And then towards the end.
So she didn't say anything.
She didn't say anything there. And then at the end,
I know exactly
Mike,
what you're
Guy
thinking.
Pearce, and the four Musketeers are back together again. It's Scott and Charlene and Mike and Jane. And this is the reunion. And then Harold comes in as well.
I didn't know you guys were coming down.
Oh, so good
Harold!
Where are the kids?
So that's Kylie saying Harold. I'm not convinced that wasn't news because her back was turned to the camera. So I think it maybe was taken from when she was actually on Neighbours. Now, this is the thing.
Oh, no way.
There's been some
conspiracy theory.
And there's been some criticism. I want to defend Kylie Minogue. She could have so easily not have returned to do Neighbours. Now, the fact is she's been living overseas for her adult life. She sounds different now. She doesn't sound like Charlene from, you know, bloody Erinsborough. She's Kylie Minogue of the world. She could have said, you went to the UK for 3 months and you came back sounding like a bloody Cockney governor. You know, and so I reckon she played injured in a way. She could have easily said, I don't sound like Charlene anymore.
Are you giving 4 votes to Kylie?
I'm giving 4 votes to Kylie Minogue. Yeah. I'm giving 4 votes to Kylie Minogue for saying yes.
You're just
playing
sucking
injured.
Up to all your acting friends, aren't you?
Yeah, because Kylie Minogue is.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, but no, Tommy. This afternoon we got Pete Hellier filling in the Savo.
If you're planning to run away, we have the man to ask all the questions to later in the show.
But Tommy's not here.
He has run away. He's officially run away from the show.
Not just from relationships or?
And no, he's good at that. But this, I never thought he'd run from the actual one job that pays him well. But anyway, we've heard that he will be back tomorrow. But coming up next, I saw an image from the Comm Games over the weekend that left me aghast, guys. Me absolutely gobsmacked. I don't even understand how it happened or how it could happen and why they're not doing more to stop it. I will show you that image and we will talk about it next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Across Australia for your Monday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. But no, Tommy the Savo, we've got Pete Hellier filling in.
There are calls for bigger barriers to be fitted at velodromes after a horrific crash at the weekend at the Commonwealth Games. When I say horrific, I saw this vision. Like cyclists are literally catapulting over the railings and into the crowd. Have a look. There were several injuries over the weekend at this velodrome. One guy actually broke his collarbone and was knocked unconscious during a crash. I've never been at a velodrome, but apparently the speeds of the cyclists are getting... What are you laughing about, Son? Of course I've never... Yes. Well, I mean, there's probably a lot of people that haven't been at velodromes.
You should try new things, though.
Riding in it.
This week we're
going
to get you to a velodrome.
Just go be a spectator. Because if I'm going, I'm taking my hard hat. Because being a spectator here. What? Or my hard hat. Okay. Oh no, that's for
construction
work sites. Yeah. Either way, something to protect my head.
Yep.
Because it's not just the cyclists here that have to worry. Look at the spectators in the front row. There's little kids. They're all going as these bikes come for their faces.
Yes. Yeah, and I'd never seen anything like this happen before. I didn't think it was even possible. Usually, I mean, maybe I don't watch enough cycling in the velodromes, but like you, Carrie, but I didn't think they got that high.
I know, they've gone right up, and apparently the discussion is that their speeds are getting faster and their positions are getting more extreme, and sometimes people are crashing into the back of others that makes the ones at the front go up the edge. But I'd seen it at the Tour de France. Remember last year that woman stepped onto the road, she held out a sign or something, and she hit one of the cyclists.
Yes.
And then it was like a chain reaction. It was like dominoes.
She's watching like high Nana or something.
Yeah, it was It was Les Opiomi or something, which is a German term of endearment for grandparents or something. And then she started this dominoes effect, and like all the hundreds of cyclists just went one after the other after the other down. We shouldn't be laughing.
No, we
not
shouldn't be laughing.
If you're in that
Carrie.
Peloton,
I'll tell you
you're
what,
going down.
I laughed at years ago when I started dating my now wife, Bridge. She was playing netball.
Happened on the court?
I convinced my sister to come along to check out the game with me. And my sister Rachel, my younger sister, and she's sitting right next to me. And the ball came right towards us. It's like a suburban court, so it's not far between where you
sit. And
there's
not fencing.
No, this is there's one row of seats,
yes,
and then
course.
There's a wall. So we're right next to it, and somebody came over, the ball came over, and Bridge went to spike the ball. She spiked it to get it out of bounds. It went smack bang into my little sister's head. Smack right in the middle of her head.
Like, it's a dangerous game being a spectator.
It is.
Apparently, oh, remember the guy at the cricket that was carrying like 8 beers in the 2 trays and someone hit a 6 and he wasn't watching and it landed smashed into one tray of beer and it tipped on his other tray of beer and it knocked those over.
But he's okay, though. It was just the beer that went.
No, yeah,
he was pretty devastated by the loss of beer.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, we're talking about like full-blown injuries here. Oh. Apparently, obviously, motorsport is high up there with injuries to crowd, followed by cycling, baseball, ice hockey and golf. Apparently, lots of errant shots by golfers end up in the crowd. And ice hockey, last year, 122 people were injured watching ice hockey games. 90 of them required stitches. 57 had to have a trip to the emergency department because of a puck to the head.
And they actually have barriers.
Yeah.
They do. But obviously, they go up and above. I wonder how they would have got there. Because they're very high. Oh, do you reckon through?
Through it up, maybe. Maybe there's a sweet spot.
Because I thought you just go to the game to catch the ball, like, on camera.
Yeah,
you
don't go to catch the puck in an ice hockey
game. No, or to get the ball to the head.
No.
But maybe this happens more than I realise. I'd love to hear from people. Were you in a game and you saw the game come into the crowd? Yeah. You were in a crowd and you saw it sort of come in, or you caught a ball? Maybe you were that guy on the cam.
When did it cross the line?
When did the game make it into the crowd? Give us a call, 13 10 60. What did you witness?
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Monday afternoon. Tommy away today, so we've got Pete Hellier filling in. And on 13 10 60, when did the game jump over into the crowd?
Yeah, drama at the Velodrome at the Comm Games. We should give a shout out to Emma McKeon, by the way, who has won the most gold medals ever of anyone at the Comm Games. Amazing. But in the Velodrome, my favourite place.
Yeah.
Action-packed weekend. Yep. These poor cyclists were going over left, right and centre and going up into the crowd, injuring themselves because their speeds are getting so far and apparently there's not big enough barriers there. So we've asked on 13 10 60, when did the game spill over into the crowd? Tiffany, talk to us. What game are we talking about? Where were you?
Okay, so I was at the ice rink. I've been a figure skater for 15 years and my dad, love him, went to every single session to tie my skates up. I finished my session and the hockey guys jumped on the ice rink and were starting to do their warm-ups, and as it was, the nets were going up. My dad was doing my skate, like untying my skates. He heard a guy yell and he turned to look.
Oh, my God.
And he copped a puck right between the eyes on his nose. Luckily, he was wearing glasses and all he walked away with was needing a new pair of glasses.
Oh, Tiffany, imagine if it had just been like an inch either side. That's horrible.
Yeah, it was a freak of nature, but like, yeah.
Did he come back to keep tying your laces, or was that him done?
No, I think I took over after that. He needed to sit down.
Oh, God.
Done. Tiffany, well done to your dad. I mean, yeah, bloody hell. Let's go to Stephen. Stephen, when did the sport cross the line?
Yeah, it was at the sprintway. The sprint cars had a bit of an accident.
Oh, no.
You know, like dug up a huge clump of mud. And I don't know if what Pete said, it went through the wire or over the fence, whatever, but it took out the pram stroller that was sitting right next to me. Luckily, just before the race started, the mum picked up the baby.
Oh, my God.
But this huge lump of mud, about the size of a freaking watermelon, just took out the pram, sent it flying.
Oh my God.
Thank you for saying freaking too, Stephen. We appreciate you.
These are such near misses. Like, imagine, oh, my God, that makes me feel sick.
There might be another one. Sandy, what happened?
Yeah, guys, I was 8 months pregnant and had just left work on the Friday. On the Saturday, I attended a soccer gala day, sitting having a chat with a friend of mine who was next to me, and we heard someone yell out to watch out. As I looked up, the soccer ball was coming straight for my friend's face. So I put my hand up to stop the ball from hitting her, broke my wrist. So I spent that night in hospital having that reduced and put back into place. Then 3 days later, the baby came 4 weeks early.
Oh, Sandy. Oh. And was everything okay?
Yeah, everything was fine. I think it just was the shock of the whole thing.
Oh, my God, I bet. Oh, your friend. Yeah, I hope she saw your heroic moves, protecting her, putting your life on the line, Sandy.
She was fine. That's what you do for friends, don't you?
Well, I mean, not everybody's doing that, Sandy, for a friend. I think you went above and beyond.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your Monday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. We got Pete Hellier filling in this afternoon. And guys, NIB is more than just health insurance. Check out nib.com.au.
Absolutely. They want us all to live health first wherever we are in life. And they've got expert content which is tailored to your health goals. It might be stress you need help with, sleep, maybe mental well-being. All of this is available with NIB. So start your journey today at nib.com.au. Coming up, well, let me tell you, Drake and Taylor Swift have come out on the defense. They are defending themselves. Pete,
oh, they're on the same team.
Against what, I will tell you next.
Mosquitoes.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your Monday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Tommy away today, so we've got Pete Hellier filling in.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now.
Taylor Swift is known for topping many lists, but she is at the top of a list she does not want to be on at the moment, and she's fired back about it. There is the list of the celebrities with the worst private jet CO2 emissions. Obviously, the conversation around climate at the moment, and many outspoken celebrities...
Where did you feature, Bickers?
...do something about climate change are being called hypocrites because they fly around in their private jets, which are terrible for CO2 emissions. But she has topped this list by taking 170 flights since January with the average flight time of 80 minutes. So people are saying one of her flights, I think, was like 30 minutes. Everyone's like, isn't that a distance you could drive, right? Anyway, she's hit back at the statement, her people have hit back, saying that she loans her jet out to people often. So these aren't all her flights, guys.
So who takes responsibility, though? Like, can she say, listen, it's only half an hour flight, you know, Jenny?
I don't think Taylor's going to argue with Jenny, who wants to hire a private jet, about where she's going.
Well, if she's concerned about the environment, maybe she should. She's saying, you're only going half an hour. Why don't you drive, Jenny?
Well, Floyd Mayweather, is he having the chat with Jenny? Because he came behind Swift at 177 flights.
Yeah, he needs to have the same discussion.
Jay-Z's up there as well.
Same discussion.
136 flights.
I mean, Jenny's probably the issue here.
A-Rod? A-Rod, he emitted 5,000 tonnes of CO2 this year with his private jet. Anyway, the list goes on and on.
A-Rod didn't even blame it on other people. He just said that was all me.
Spielberg, the Kardashians, Oprah. Yeah. Oh, Oprah, come on.
Come on.
Use your chopper from time to time, you know. Also on my bits today, some exciting news for the Cruise family. Tom Cruise's daughter, Suri. You know Suri?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Suri, I always use it on the phone.
That's Siri.
Oh, Siri.
Siri,
okay, sorry,
is going into the acting world.
Yes.
She's got her first acting gig. She's taken after mum and dad.
Yeah, they're on a movie called Katie Holmes. Now, this doesn't diminish her role, in my opinion, but her mum, Katie Holmes, has directed, written and produced this film, I believe.
And casted it.
That's so cute.
Yes. It's called Alone Together.
Well, you've got to start somewhere,
somewhere. Why not?
When's Addie going to be hosting the project?
Yeah. Not everyone can get their Dawson's Creek big break, you know?
No, exactly right. And you know,
what's the movie about?
It's called Alone Together. It's a romantic comedy set during the COVID pandemic. It stars English actor Jim Sturgess. It follows a man and woman fleeing New York during the pandemic, and they end up at the same Airbnb.
And Suri's
A mixed booking. Now, Suri. So this is the thing. Suri is not one of those.
Oh.
She's not part of the love. She's like 16. It's a bit creepy.
I thought she was older than
No.
I haven't been keeping up to date with Suri's age.
No.
I'm sorry.
Actually, I got my iPhone here. Hang on a sec. Siri, how old's Suri? Didn't get that. Okay, didn't get that.
She's confused.
Yeah. So she's singing at the start of the movie.
Oh, so she's not even a main character.
She's not acting.
So, I think it's a small role. I'm not even sure she's on screen. She sings at the start of the song, apparently. She sings Blue Moon.
Blue Moon, that one.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. She plays during the opening credits of the film. Please, Carrie.
Hey, the last bit I need web guy Eli for, because to be fair, I don't really understand, but all I heard on the weekend is a grab of Khalees having a go at Beyonce, and I don't understand why web guy Eli, who knows all things Beyonce, what is going down?
Yes. So just to give you a bit of context, a few years ago, Khalees made headlines because she came out and said that she hasn't made a dollar off of her first two albums as she was swindled out of her publishing rights. And now what has
happened? Oh, I remember all that. That was nasty.
Yes. So what has happened now is Beyonce has gone ahead and sampled one of those songs that Kelis had been swindled out of. And I guess Kelis is a bit frustrated because she's not getting any credit for it. And the only people who are profiting off of this are the people who basically stole her money. Here's a
so
bit
did
of
Beyonce order. Ask? Anyway, sorry. No, you keep going. Sorry.
No, no, it's okay. She didn't ask. And this is actually a bit of audio from Kelis initially hearing that she was now being featured on one of Beyonce's songs.
The point is, okay, is that there's a lot of hypocrisy and someone has to talk about it and bring it up. And it just so happens that I was thrown in this. This is not like I looked for it. I was actually last night, I was posting on my Bounty and Full page, just doing my own thing. And then I saw one of my fan pages and someone was like, oh, that's a collaboration. Collaboration between B and Kelis. No, it's not a collaboration. It's called thievery because the collaboration, the definition of collaboration, it means that we are working together. There's no working together if you are not even checking to see if everything's cool. That's a problem, okay? I would never do that to another artist. For real. I never have. I never would. Why? Because what's the point? If I like it so much, why wouldn't I just be like, yo, I really like it. Can I use it?
And the hypocrisy that Kelis is referring to is that Beyonce is always preaching about female empowerment, and yet she's not walking the walk. She's only talking the talk.
So has Beyonce responded?
No, Beyonce hasn't. But we're giving Kelis the praise she deserves. So.
I've just got a message from Beyonce, and she said, "Well, it turns out my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard."
Thank you, Pete, for your contribution.
Thank you very much.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your Monday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. We got Pete Hellier filling in for Tommy this afternoon.
It is the show that everyone at the moment is saying, oh my God, I want to be on it. And if I was on it, I would do X, Y, Z. We are talking about Hunted, which is 7:30 tonight on Channel 10. Honestly, I want to be in it. Chief David Craig, how do I get myself to be hunted?
I don't know that I want to answer that question.
I mean, other than break the law, that's the easy way there. Yeah. I want to be in Channel 10 show Hunted. Yeah.
Oh, well, I think Endemol Shine would be a good part.
Great,
if they advertise for a second series, I think that they're casting, they'd be casting on that website.
Because there's always celebrity versions of these kinds of shows.
Well, I'm there. You don't even have to pay me. You do need to pay me. Yeah. Wipe that bit out. But I would be.
And it's a fortune. It'll cost you a fortune.
But how much do you hear people say they think they do well in it?
Oh, everyone's got a plan.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own idea, which I think is why it resonates with so many viewers, because they all got a plan. Oh, I wouldn't have done that. I'd go and do this, because there's so many different ways to go on the run with technology and personalities and networks that you've got. So everyone can apply themselves in that situation.
It does feel unfair, though, when you change the rules mid-game. I'm talking about the freezing of the bank accounts, the cards. Is that reasonable?
Very good question. That was always an alternative for us right from the start. Mm. Obviously, there's a referee, so everything's proportionate. So when we wanted to freeze, you know, someone's bank account, we had to justify why we wanted to do it, just like the police have to go to a court to get a warrant or a telephone affidavit so they can intercept the phone.
No, but that's with criminals. These people aren't criminals.
Oh, no, they are not criminals. No, they're all good
people. The last episode is a cracker.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, is it fair? Look, in that circumstance, we justified that we really needed to do that. So, yeah, look, I know it wasn't a very popular decision, but would I do it again? Yes.
So I want to win. If I was in it, what should I do? Okay, I get dropped off, say it's the same place, Federation Square. Should I get as much money as I possibly can, strip naked or something like get the clothes off or like...
Why are you getting naked?
I don't know. I'm panicking.
There's CCTV everywhere. Then you're going to be naked on all the CCTV.
Okay. So dress as normal as I can.
Yeah. So yeah, keep the clothes on.
Yeah.
Grab...
The hat, sunglasses, or does that look like you're being...
Because I thought tradie outfit, but then I saw them wearing tradie outfit, like the high vis, and I thought, does that actually raise more attention?
Well, it can do because it is high vis, but then there's so much high vis these days.
Right.
Yeah, it's a bit of a balancing act. So
what's he doing? Is he getting cash out naked?
Well, he's No.
I think Carrie, please, I'm not naked anymore.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Move on.
Thanks. I didn't need that. definitely get the cash out.
Going money out.
Yeah, won't draw attention at all.
Yeah, I would be going for the cash.
The cash?
Absolutely.
As much
first
cash
up.
As you can.
And where's the first place we go? Because I'm surprised how much CCTV there is. Where is there not CCTV?
Very hard in the city. It's very hard. There is so much CCTV, private and governments, local councils, etc. So
what if I got access to a scuba outfit? in the Yarra. Gone.
Right. No, good, they weren't allowed in the water, though, were they? Because we spoke to some of the girls last week and they were on a pier and they wanted to jump and the producer said you can't jump.
Oh, is that right? See, I don't know a lot of the rules on the fugitive side. I just don't have access. It's like an investigation. They don't say the crew tell you what's going on. So I only know it from my perspective. So they can't use the water.
But I love that scuba idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Have you got your license?
No, but I will.
Just snorkel across. Just see this little top going across.
I can't scuba, but I can snorkel. I've won this. I've won this.
Are you surprised just how popular this has been? I mean, I know you would have hoped that it would be, but it really has captured the imagination of Australians.
Yeah, it's great. I love how involved everyone is in it. It's I've got no exposure to this side of our life, you know, the entertainment industry. So it's all new to me. I don't understand the stats that they're talking about. They're saying it's doing well, and that's fantastic. But what I do understand is when I read comments or people say to me that they really love the show, it's so, so exciting.
But gosh, you're already talking the talk. I don't listen to ratings, you know. I don't even know. Are these things rated?
I probably will in a few weeks.
Have you been recognised on the street?
No, I have not. No.
Oh, have you not?
You haven't been?
No. I just had my first selfie just outside your studio. Oh. Very first time someone came up, and I felt like getting a photo of the person taking the photo, so I have that. But anyway.
Probably Brad.
From our office. Yeah, he does love you. Last time you were on, so Pete, to fill you in, David here has looked after, like, protected three PMs. Yep. Bob Hawke, Paul Keating, John Howard, and Tommy asked him who is the biggest prick.
Yeah.
And you didn't answer it.
Now that you're more famous now, you have more power. Who is the biggest prick?
Sorry, there's a problem with my microphone.
Okay, more recent PM or further back?
Bob Hawke was a really good bloke.
Oh, that's not the
answer. Well, it's down to two then. It's down to two.
Has there ever been a moment when you've actually been scared for your own life while protecting a PM?
Not really, because you're focused on them more than anything else. It's not heroic. It's just your focus is on someone else, and that's what you're doing.
Oh my God, like, it really is like the bodyguard. Well, we absolutely love the show. 7:30 tonight on Channel 10 and 10 Play. It continues. Chief David Craig, it is always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carrie and Tommy.
That is where you're at for your Monday afternoon. Tommy is away today. We got Pete Hellier filling in for us, the Savo. And Pete, good news for you. The last time you joined us, the favourite segment of the show, that's coming up next for you.
Oh, fantastic.
Don't guess all of your favourite segments all at once.
Yeah, I can't quite remember which one's my favourite. There's so many.
Absolutely loved.
It wasn't the paper quiz, put it that way. Hey, you're a TV man.
Yes.
It wouldn't surprise you that the number one TV episode of, like, most rated TV episode ever on IMDb is Breaking Bad. It's an episode from Breaking Bad. That surprise you? Would you feel it had been anything else?
I thought it might have been like this final episode of Friends or like a finale of Seinfeld or something
like school.
That. Old school, yeah.
Yes, no. Breaking Bad, Ozymandias, the episode from Breaking Bad.
Okay, so that's the most, it wouldn't surprise me.
Not Game of Thrones, not House of Cards.
I thought maybe Red Wedding, Game of Thrones, but certainly Breaking Bad is in that conversation of the best TV shows of all time.
Okay. Guess what is number two? This made my heart sing. This is worldwide the second rated episode of any TV show ever.
Oh, narrow it down for us. What is it on? What streaming service is it on?
It's Australian.
It's a project. Okay. Project last Wednesday, with Viral Wednesday, knocked it out of the park.
You weren't on, though.
That's true.
You wouldn't want it to be
that. Two Wednesdays ago.
Nah, it's a kids program.
Bluey.
Bluey, the Sleepy Time episode, is the second rated episode of any TV show ever.
That's Aaron's just being absolutely so thankful that it's putting kids to sleep.
Episode where there's all this bed hopping happening at night, which is actually what's happening in my household at the moment. So I love that that's number two.
Well, well done, Bluey. What's number three? Is the project number three? Or?
Attack on Titan? What's that?
It really drops off real quick. Okay.
We'll probably wrap it up now. Yep.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Monday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. But Tommy is away today, so we've got Pete Hellier filling in. And Pete, do you remember the last time you were on the show and we played Same Same But Cave?
How could I forget?
One of the
bloody love it.
One of the best segments on the show.
Don't tell me you brought it back just for Pete Hellier.
Really?
I've brought back one of our other favourite versions.
same, but underwater.
I love it.
Which is just as bad as in a cave.
I love it. Now, I was hoping there'd be some version of this contest on today because I thought I was just getting used to it.
You shat all over it last time is what you did.
No.
Are you on board now, are you?
I like it. I like it. Well, this is a bit of theatre with me last time. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Okay.
And I'll be very surprised if it's not a board game by the end of the year.
The underwater one's trickier.
It's tricky. It's very tricky. You have to waterboard your kids.
Do the parents have to play in a cave or they've just got to pretend they're under the cave and playing it?
Mattel will work all that stuff out, okay? Or the Parker Brothers, whoever goes with it.
All right, here is your first song. Because...
Oh, well, I was waiting for it to start.
Couldn't hear it.
I'll give you bubbles.
Well, didn't you hear the music
too many
start?
Bubbles. Too many bubbles. Can we just go? Can we put the Jets on two instead of three, please?
Is it J-Lo, Jenny from the Block? Gotta listen hard to Pete.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
Okay. All right. We're really focused now.
Song number two.
Carrie. See ya, chandelier.
I mean... She's not
very
good.
You clean your ears out, mate.
You know, I'm a guest here today. Like, I'm filling in. Like, you really, I could actually, like, even people at home, the idea is you let people play along. Yeah. It's like you just get this little competitive bloody streak in you.
I'm a self-confessed competitive woman. And if you need that long to work out the song, you shouldn't be playing.
Well, people are listening right now in their cars. It's tuned out, they did.
Okay, guys, listen, I'll give you this one. I'll give you longer. Okay.
All right. Song number three.
Pete.
There's a lot riding in this.
It's a song from either NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. Is that right? Backstreet Boys.
And the name of the song?
Larger Than Life by the Backstreet Boys.
Pete's on the board.
I mean, that's pathetic. Got it. I had to give you the answer.
No, you're trying to put me off by saying La La Land.
Song number four.
Pete.
Oh, Pete.
It's Larger Than Life by the Backstreet Boys again.
Something feeling. Play it again. Oh, mate.
No, the bubbles, I've got the no bubbles getting in my way. This would be a better segment without the bubbles.
Lizzo. I mean, I've never heard that.
Even without the bubbles, that's too hard.
What is that?
That's Lizzo, About Damn Time.
Of course it is.
Oh, no. Go back to playing the Backstreet Boys. In the 90s. Sorry, Lizzo. That's embarrassing.
Song number five, Pete, the best you can do is draw it.
Okay. Carrie.
Yep.
As it was Harry Styles. I've got that album on repeat at the moment. I cleaned to it all day yesterday.
You know
it made
what?
Everything so much better.
I've been hearing that song a lot. You guys play it a lot.
All right.
It's quite a nice song. It's a good song. It's a good song. That's a good. It's
a
good song
as well, Pete. And you didn't know that one.
So. Yeah, but there's too many bubbles on Lizzo. But I didn't actually know it was Harry Styles. I've been meaning to find out who sung that song.
Isn't it great when you get to that age? You're like, I love that song. Who sings it?
I know. So many times at a project, we get this artist who's coming in, and we're like, we don't know who they are, and then they play a song.
I don't know the whole back catalogue. Yeah.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show. Now that the show's over, you can find more of Carrie and Tommy in the podcast. NIB are more than just health insurance. They're a health partner. Put your health first and join NIB today. Visit nib.com.au.